CJ, would you lead us, please? Fans. Does anybody got any questions over last night? All right. So I gave you some homework and I missed a note that I wanted to add to that. And so what was your homework? Anybody remember for next
week?
Okay. Church perpetuity and what?
Saints.
With the perpetuity, and it kind of goes along with the saints, is, and it's, I don't know, to me, they, it'd be easy to do them both at the same time. That's why I'm throwing this in there. How does God receive glory? And so when you're teaching or when you're putting your homework together, you got church perpetuity, you got saints, and now add giving God glory. And so I kind of want you to do all three at the same time. Obviously, that's a lot. So I'm not necessarily even asking you to, you know, have the whole thing, but I want to see that you have a mindset or a, you know, your mind is working that way, how to teach that. Now, who are the gainslayers? Can you read over there? Okay, and who are they?
Could be anybody.
And that's exactly right. It could be anybody. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter. It could be anybody. It could be a church member. It could be somebody in the world. So I'm in this wake up at 4 o'clock mode right now. So, you know, you just kind of lay there, and I was thinking about this this morning. So does anybody in here have, I don't know if I want to say conflict, but if people understand why you're here today, maybe not outside your immediate family. Because some of you are here because you just want to be a better, you know, church member, learn, maybe be a better teacher down the road. Some of you are here because you're called to the ministry. And, you know, this is seminary school, but do people know why you're here outside, you know, maybe outside your little bubble? Anybody? Do you know why you're here?
Because I love the Lord.
Okay, but does that mean everybody that's not here doesn't love the Lord? Have you always come?
No, I decided.
But did you love the Lord?
I needed to be known.
Well, and I'm not necessarily challenging you, but does everybody know why you're here? And do you know why you're here? And, you know, I think that's kind of important. You know, for some of you that are called to the ministry, you will not be ordained if you don't come to school. Isn't that a fair assumption?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And sometimes we have conflict with, you know, loved ones and people in our lives because they don't get it. And sometimes we don't get it. And I mean, I had a mom that was a member of this church, and sometimes I had a hard time with her because I was coming to school. And, you know, she didn't get it for whatever reason, which you think she would. So sometimes we have conflicts, but it's important to know why you know why you're here. Does that make some sense? Now, with that, Romans whip over here. I told you 14, didn't I? And so Romans 14, the gainslayer can be anybody. And a lot of times they're, you know, maybe somebody you're working with, you know, maybe a member. Brother Sean shared something last night, and I had exactly the same thing with a member. You know, they every once in a while, a Bible study, hit me at the back door type of thing, or just over their house. Man, you know, I know what the Bible says about miracles, and they would always phrase this back to me. I know what you teach about miracles. And it's like, well, it's not what I teach, it's what the Bible says. Well, yeah, I know, but I just know what I saw and or felt, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, sometimes I feel, you know, heartburn too, but I take a Prilosec and usually it goes away. So the point is, not every member at every time is necessarily doctrinally grounded in that New Testament church. Now, it would be great if they were. It'd save you a lot of hassle, save the church a lot of hassle. People come at different points in their life. I've learned that people pay attention at different points in their life. And not everybody, you know, I mentioned this last night, kind of a little tongue-in-cheek. Not everybody listens. And I didn't always listen either. And so I like to think I listen a little better now. So in Romans, the 8th chapter, you know, I keep telling you, 14, that's actually where I'm going to go. Romans, the 14th chapter. Let's see here. I could tell this morning when I woke up it was going to be a fun day. If you have knowledge of something, how do you have to use it? I used this analogy last week in teaching Sunday school. We're looking at the tabernacle, kind of focusing on the comforter right now. And I saw a video last week. So, and then I've looked for it since, and they've taken off the air or off, which I am surprised they even made it to the air. So anybody heard of 6-Hour? Mm-hmm. And so 6-Hour is a high-end, they do sell ammunition, but a high-end manufacturer of guns. And they sell all kinds of different guns. And now they've branched into optics and everything. And it's a, you know, it's a high-end company. It's not somebody running in their basement. They sell cops and military and everything else. So the CEO, do you think they have classes? Do you think he's probably been to some, probably instituted them, maybe been to a lot of training and everything? So there was a video that got posted, and I think he posted it, and then it got quickly taken down. And it looked like he was at some type of training. He's putting his gun away, and then Brother Alex was telling me last night that they were having an issue with one of these guns. So maybe it was an accident, but he's putting it away. And when he put it away, it went off and hit him in the leg. Now, if you run a high-end gun manufacturer, is that a video you want to? I don't think so. Now, accidents happen, right? You know, unfortunately, they do happen. And, you know, it sounds like he was okay, and other than he got hit in the leg. And, you know, obviously total accident. And, but do you think he had any knowledge about how a gun works? Yeah. And, you know, again, Brother Alex was telling me they got some mechanical issues with this one, and maybe that's what it was. And, you know, so they're, I bet if that's the case, they're probably really, really trying to fix that right now, because they probably don't need any lawsuits. And so if you have knowledge of something, and in Romans, talks a lot about this, talks about being a stumbling block. So what's a stumbling block?
Somebody that gets in the way of somebody else or anymore.
Okay, well, it's just, let's just back it. You're right, but let's back up. A stumbling block is something that causes you to stumble or causes somebody to stumble. And, you know, sometimes it could be, with me right now, you know, I've stumbled a lot. I've fallen a lot. I literally got this beautiful black eye right now. And I was putting something in our freezer the other night, and we got a refrigerator freezer in the garage. It's kind of, you know, a little darker out there, and I'm putting stuff away and kind of pushing it in the back. And I didn't notice that the you know, it's one of these refrigerator freezers, you know, the old one that was in the house. And I didn't notice that the small little door had started to close on me. And I stood up and just got it pretty good. Okay. And then this medicine I'm taking, you know, makes me bleed pretty good. So I got this beautiful sister Tessa's very envious of my eyeliner. She's been trying to find it online so that didn't feel really good. Okay, so what was that? And I just really wanted to push that thing over when that happened, right? Teach it a lesson. Okay, so that was a stumbling block, right? It came into my way, I hit it, didn't notice it. So that's what really a stumbling block is. It causes you to stumble, and it could be the rug. You know, if you fall over that, it could be a kid, and or it could be something doctrinally. It can be literally anything. And when you read through here in Romans, sometimes we have knowledge of stuff. We know the Bible teaches on a particular topic, and I threw that out last night about my primary care wanted to have a word of prayer with me. Well, I know what the Bible teaches on prayer. I teach it all the time, and believe it very strongly, but I know that she doesn't. And, you know, she's trying to reach out and have compassion and all that. And sometimes you got to use a little smart so that you don't turn that door closed. Now, I'm going to give you another thing. You got something for the ball?
Just real quick. Wednesday night, doing a lesson on brain and all parenting. Some visitors that have come for like a couple of services, and they're going through the raging altar and all this, tying the animals with the horns and everything. And he raises his hand and he's like, and he's really excited about church. He might even come to work week next week, like, but just out of the blue. Well, I thought we were supposed to be cruel to animals.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, you know, we're supposed to be that loves God loves animals. Okay.
Wrong. I don't take him to Brother Sean's house.
They were just that one house on the floor, and it's all.
Yeah, but your stuff is kind of small.
Okay. Now I feel better. But it's like, okay, my opinion on that is like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, where's your hamburger from?
Yeah, exactly.
But in the moment, it's like, I'm not going to rip him to shreds. Yeah. And be like, That's
stupid.
It's like you got to, the focus is on obviously the lesson and what the animal is. Yep. But, you know, it was to mind, I'm like, wow, that's where our world is at. Yep. You know, the animals are worth more than a baby's life and all this. But I could just completely destroy his energy to learn the scriptures and stuff right now. And to him, that's a totally fine question.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, it's not a bad question.
Yeah. And so even say it was a stumble, it wasn't a stumbling block, like it was completely holding him back, but it just says someone unlearned. He's like, oh, wait.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a measure coming. I don't know if it's coming in May or in the fall that is along those lines. And you know, one of the things, it can literally shut down cattle ranching, fishing and hunting there and out. And you're like, how do people get in it? I mean, why would you get enough petitions to sign? Well, you got to have a very nice person like him that just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And then in Romans, the 14th chapter, I'm not going to read through all this, but it talks about an assembly block. And then towards the bottom of that chapter, it starts talking about how we can offend with that knowledge about, you know, whatever. And they had some people, members, they remember they had a big Jewish, coming to, you know, turn out in these churches and, you know, wanting to get hung up on giving sacrifices still. And you know, the Lord through Paul is admonishing them, you know, don't use your knowledge, you know, let's say stay stupidly. So this started like a couple weeks ago. And there's a young woman, and her grandma, she's come to church, you know, off and on her whole life. And her mom used to be a member. Her grandmother's currently a member. And her grandma told me like 2 weeks ago, she said, hey, she's really searching and she's got some questions. And I told her she needs to, you know, call you or talk to you. So, okay. Well, then she texts me and she kind of told me what's going on, and she wanted to talk. So last Sunday, after service, she was there after service, and she said, "Hey, can we talk?" And so she wants to get baptized. I've never been baptized. And so I asked her, are you saved? Yeah, I know I'm saved. And, so then she started telling me kind of what she's been going through and this little, all to say journey she's been on the last several weeks or maybe a couple months. And she started, somebody invited her from work to another Baptist church in town or in Corvallis. And so she went, and she's been really searching what God's will is for her since. And so we're sitting there talking. She wants to get baptized, and she wanted to know what she had to do. And so, I'm telling her, making sure she's, that she knows she's saved. Oh yeah, no doubt. And then I said, "Well, if you're going to get baptized here and you want to," and I started talking to her about spiritual fornication. And I could tell that was a little over her head. She's a very bright young woman and, very articulate and everything. And I knew that was over her head. And I said, I can share that, some more with you with some scriptures. And, because I just kind of quickly took her over to Corinthians and said, "Yeah, that would be good." So we just kept talking. So the first time when she texted me, I knew she was going to another church or been visiting. But she said, "As I visited there, I realized I want to be in the church that I spent my childhood." So what does she get? Who's doing that to her?
Family?
No, she's doing her own thing. The Holy Spirit. Okay. And the Holy Spirit's moving her, and she's, I'm sure that place she's going or been visiting the last month or so is full of nice people and everything. And a co-worker invited her. But now that she wants to join the Albany Missionary Baptist Church, I have to make sure that she at least has some understanding. What is she getting into? And so, when I'm just texting her and she's, trying to find her own way, and I'm, trying to just encourage her and, I'll talk to you. And she said, in some ways it was kind of nice going somewhere where nobody knew my history. And I got this figured out. This is where I need to be. Okay, well, that's a benefit. And I don't believe that church she's been attending has a comforter at all. But if she is saved, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to move her. He's going to open doors. And her grandma's been talking to her. So I didn't have to really talk to her a lot. She already kind of knew what she was getting into. And so sometimes, just because you know the right answer, there will be a moment where you need to use that right answer. And so you got to be able to teach the Gainslayers. And so you're working on this little homework thing, that, because we're going to transition into a little bit of attitude here and then into making a teacher, you need to be able to teach everybody. And not everybody gets it at the same time. And sometimes things just go over people's heads that you're like, "Man, you've been here long enough. This shouldn't go over your head." But not everybody listens. Not everybody pays attention. It's important that you do. It's important that you listen, that you pay attention, that you observe. It's important that when things come down, whether it's a baptism or church discipline or whatever, it's important that you know where you are and where the church needs to be. Does that kind of make some sense? And so we'll see if she wants to follow through, but it was made very clear to her, if you're going to join this church, we're going to baptize you, this is where you need to be. And it can't be somewhere else. And because that's what this is. And, she's not married or anything like that, but the Bible uses marital terminology and marital examples on how we're going to walk with God. Now, she kind of got that, but we'll see. But just because I didn't need the land blaster, and I'll let the Lord do that. And She's been reading her Bible. She's been praying. I'm convinced that the Lord is pushing her in a direction. Now, whether she'll accept it or not, she seemed to the other day. So we'll just see how that works out. So, but she's not going to get baptized if she's like, yeah, no, I'm going to go where I want. Okay, well, you go do that right now. And we're just, you know, we'll always be here. But we're not, we can't compromise that. And you have to know where the line is. Does that make some sense? Somebody awake? Nobody's sleeping? All right. You got to be able to teach and deal with those gainslayers, the opposition, be able to communicate that further. Josh, I meant to give you this earlier. Can you get that verse there in Nehemiah again? And so we're going to kind of get into a little bit of making a teacher, but that kind of starts with an attitude. If you have an attitude that you can't learn anything, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. You're not going to get very far, and you're always going to have a struggle. Let's whip over here to Romans 8, and let's see if I can figure this one out. I had all these notes up here, and I need to rewrite some of these things. Maybe somebody can help me. Romans 8 chapter, and it talks about teach thyself. I think it's in Romans 8. That doesn't make any sense to anybody. So here we are, given the sense.
2:21, teach yourself, not thyself.
Yeah. Go back a couple verses and read that. Thank you.
Was it Romans what?
2:21. We got it?
Yeah, a couple verses in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably
17.
17?
Yeah.
Behold, thou art told the Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thyself both with God, and knowest his will, and perfects the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Art thou confident in that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, light of them which are in darkness, instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest, a man should not steal, that thou steal. Thou that sayest, a man should not commit adultery, that thou commit adultery. Thou that abhorrest idol, shalt thou commit sacrilege.
Yeah, that's probably good. So, if you're going to teach, who do you got to teach?
Yourself.
You got to keep teaching yourself. Too. Okay. And sometimes we get to a certain place, think, well, I got this. I know this. And maybe it's just working on you being a better communicator. And maybe it's you, maybe reading how people react. Just because you have that knowledge and you know they're wrong doesn't mean, you know, if you change your body language and your attitude and all that tone of voice because, you know, you want to dominate that you are correct. That's not necessarily winning that game, Slater. And so one of their qualifications is you got to be apt to teach. So that's the ability to teach. And then as you read down through there, you know, I would say that ability to teach starts at your home. Because one of the other things, and these are qualifications, these are not that the school set up. This is not what the church in Albany set up. It's not what our history set up. These are qualifications the Lord has laid out in his word in Timothy and Titus about a man that's going to become a pastor. And, you know, I'm trying not to spend a lot of time on that. I know, you know, most of you are pretty familiar with that. But it talks about rule. And that rule is to manage. And it's to manage your home. And, you know, laying in bed at 4:00 this morning, I'm thinking about this. Would, you know, I'm even thinking to myself, you know, asking myself, would my family work for me if they weren't my family? You ever thought about that? I mean, have you ever had a boss that you're like, I don't want to work for me. Brother Carter does, but I don't want to work for this guy. right?
Oh, yeah.
Inside thoughts, yeah. So if they didn't have to work with you, would they? I mean, would they quit? Would they walk off the job? Are you that kind of a manager at your home? Well, how you learn to deal with the Lord's people is at your home. And if you don't work on that and develop that, you're going to have a struggle when you're dealing with a church. You know, you can ask Brother Crabb, you got to. Maybe 100 plus people here. Maybe not full all members, but maybe, you know, family, extended family, visitors, all these other things. And you gotta all these personalities and all these different things that people go through. And then, you know, he's got his stuff he's going through and how all that gets navigated. Well, that he didn't just start learning that a year ago. That started 50 plus years ago. And all that has happened over the 50 plus years is got, you know, re-enhanced and worked on and developed. And so does that make some sense to everybody? One other thing, and I had this in a note last night too. I get fed up when I hear pastors talk about the stress of the ministry. And it's, you know, stressing me out, blood pressure, all that. Don't use the ministry for your cop out. If you are stressed out, push away from the table, go for a walk, go to the gym. Because the ministry's not doing that to you. You're doing that to you. And don't let the work that God has called you to do become a scapegoat for your lack of willingness to keep yourself under control. And because I've never felt, now doesn't mean I haven't gotten mad, doesn't mean I haven't got frustrated, doesn't mean I haven't beat a steering wheel. Ministry doesn't stress me out. And I've heard too many things, you know, well, I'm sick because of the ministry. No, you're not. You're sick because of your decision making. And it's just literally that simple. And sometimes our stress, you know, we all got health stuff or can, but sometimes our health stuff is literally just got to get away from the table. We just got to go for a walk. We got to find something to disengage for a minute. And whether that's, you know, woodworking or whatever it is, but don't let the ministry be your scapegoat for not doing what God has called you to do. Does that make some sense? You guys are so excited today. I thought this was just Brother Cooper's class. All right. Let's go down here. Brother Josh, go ahead and read that for me.
So they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave it sense and caused them to understand the reading.
All right. So we're going to get into this next class time. We're going to kind of do making a teacher and attitude at the same time. I think your attitude dealing with who you're trying to work with can go a long way, and it could also be a big stumbling block. And you do not want to be a stumbling block. And sometimes our stumbling block comes, well, I know what the right answer is, and you don't, and you're saying it wrong. And, you know, that gets projected, whether it's tone of voice, body language, all those things, and it just turns people off. And sometimes you don't have to, you know, I mentioned this last night. Your job is not to fix people. And if you learn that now, you're going to be better. Maybe that'll help your stress. You'll be better off down the road. Your job is to preach, teach, and practice. You do those three things all at the same time, the Lord will take care of the rest. And just be consistent. And the more consistent you are, that people realize you have a care for them, that's going to help you down the road, whether they're a gainslayer or just somebody that's maybe a little bit backslid. So comments, questions, great thanks. All right, Brother Bo, I'm going to give you a little more time. So.